Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap, a podcast about the Chicago Bears presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Flores. You can follow me on Twitter at BDown300. Today, I'm joined by all three of my co-hosts. I'm joined by Mr. Ron Luce at Luce on Tap, Joey Knows Nothing at Joey Rakota, and Quentin at Butt Kiss Stats. I'll start with Mr. Ron. I know you've had a very long day. Not a great day for us Northsiders, but other than that, how was this lovely Memorial Day for you, my friend?
I was busy, but it was good. A lot of good up, you know, good things. And, you know, just I think every Bears fan is trying to scratch that itch that is the need for football. And there was some interesting conversation that I know we're going to touch on. But otherwise, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm just chilling. I'm hanging in there.
Joey, how about you, my guy?
Yeah, you mentioned the kind of sorrowness with the Northsiders. Kind of rough last couple days, few days.
Three games we've lost in the last 36 hours, and all three were very winnable games.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of dampers the mood of Memorial Day a little bit. Like, it's supposed to be a celebration this weekend, and it's the girlfriend's birthday weekend, but did get to go to a brewery this weekend and celebrate a little bit.
You're glowing a little different because you got a little bit more beer in your system.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. It got into my blood a little bit. I got some BAC going. But, yeah, man, other than that, I'm here to talk Bears and excited to talk Bears with you guys like always. So,
Quentin, how about you, brother?
Doing good, man. Good weekend. Got some golf in, got some beers in. But as anyone who has ever golfed in the state of Texas will tell you, it's not worth your while to drink many beers because you sweat it straight out. Impossible to get a buzz. But it was a good weekend. Anytime I can get on the course is good.
Well, and at that point, it's hydration. Like, you almost need it unless you're drinking, yeah. You know, I'm assuming you're not out there drinking like freaking IPAs and shit that are like thick, like heavy beers. Like, you're probably having some lights out there on the course.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them old seltzer beers, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, still kind of that dead time before we get to training camp, before we get to the preseason. But the guys have been at the facility, you know, in the last couple of weeks working out. You know how the Bears are with everything. It stays close to the vest. So there hasn't really been too much information other than the press conferences that they've had. And as you all know, if there's one thing the Bears can do and they do well is they put these guys through like top-notch press training. So no matter what you get, it's never going to be too much. It's just going to be enough to spark your interest and pique your interest to come back for that next presser. So you could be the angry commenter in the Twitter admin section, you know, motherfucking at Chicago Bears. So other than that, I'm good.
He puts ketchup on his dogs.
I do put ketchup on my dogs. I hope Mr. Eberflus did as well. He got to hang out with, you know, my guy, Mr. Hammy last week, Coach Hammock from NIU. So, you know, Mr. Eberflus is on my good side. But, you know, Ron brought up an interesting point in the pregame, in the pre-show, while we were just kind of shooting the shits, as we always do. And I keep finding us coming back to this point, and it's just like, look, there is no specific receiver that I'm singling out on the Green Bay Packers. It is the group as a whole. I am always a full body of work person, right? So it's like you could have a Tyreek Hill on your receiving core, but what I'm more interested in is do you have a Jaylen Waddle, right? You could have that number one guy. A lot of teams do. But do you have two, three, four guys that you know that you can count on? And the fact of the matter is the Green Bay Packers do not. We don't know if we do or not because we haven't seen these guys in this offense. But, like, you have Randall Cobb who's limping around like Greg Jennings did in the Madden clip. I know you guys know the Madden clip I'm talking about. Like, that's the state of Randall Cobb right now. Alan Lazard is their number one, and don't get me wrong. Alan Lazard is a talented receiver. He's nice to put in, you know, for an anytime touchdown. You know, he's got a nice little juice to him. But that juice is going to be gone this year. So – that those days are gone. Other than that, you bring in Christian Watson. I know we wanted him a lot here in Chicago, but as we've all found out after the draft, I guess he can only run in a straight line, and he can't do much else other than that. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Anything else that you guys heard about Christian Watson on this podcast, I'm holding up the Men in Black stick right now. So you're going to just forget about it. But I don't know, man. I understand the Packers having that big brother that, like, we're always better than you, but it's like, to call a spade, both receiving cores look relatively even if we're just going to go ahead and say what we see on paper. Ron, I'll start with you since this is your top.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's – there's a lot of mystery to both receiving cores, I think, outside of really the only thing I think that differentiates them. But it's a big differentiator is a guy like Darnell Mooney. I think Darnell Mooney is far and above the best receiver between the two receiving cores. I think that's very clear. But there are a lot of question marks on both sides, right? Like, what version of Sammy Watkins are they getting in Green Bay? Yeah, what are you getting out of Randall Cobb this late in his career? Really, they're down to, is Alan Lazard the number one receiver, and can Watson do enough to make an immediate impact? The Bears, on the other hand, Byron Pringle, a guy that was that Ryan Poles is incredibly familiar with, first and foremost, because he was from Kansas City. But he was also behind a lot of guys. So we see it time and time again. Yes, we've seen it time and time again, too, where guys that are buried get big contracts and don't perform. But we've also seen it in times where they do perform. And I think that's a guy that is a candidate, that, you know, where if him and Justin Fields have a good rapport this season, maybe he has a really good year. Velus Jones is, I feel like, the biggest wild card of this entire group because of that speed. And I know everybody's like, oh, well, you know, he runs great, you know, straight line speed, but it seems like his agility's not there. What I think you tend to see, though, and I think we saw it with guys, is if they have kick return ability, sometimes that instinct just takes over and crazy shit happens, you know, and maybe he is a little faster than people anticipate in terms of agility and kind of that fast twitch. But like right now, me personally, I think you line these two receiving cores up against each other, I think the Bears do have an edge. And it's weird saying that, but again, a lot of it too also dictates on, in my opinion, does Justin Fields take the next step forward? Because if he does, then yeah, the Bears have the better receiving core. Because even with Rodgers, he doesn't have a Devontae Adams. He doesn't have a top guy, a Jordy Nelson to go to. He's going to have to find that guy. And until that, you know, we talked about it on the preview show, Quentin brought it up perfectly when we were talking matchups, right? That first matchup when there's no rapport with your receivers in Green Bay, that the Bears maybe can strike and get them early in the year. And I think a lot of that is because of it's a lot of unproven faces so far.
Joey, for you?
Yeah, I mean – it's a lot of what Ron said, right? Unproven, like you're relying on these guys that you don't know what they're going to do their first year. Romeo Dubs, Christian Watson, like what are you going to get from these guys? Yeah, they have all the potential in the world. They project well, like for the future probably. Like can they move side to side like Bedon said?
You forgot Jordan Love.
Jordan Love, too. He might be playing receiver, too. I mean, they might ask him to. You know, who knows? He's not been playing quarterback as a draft pick. But with that said, just a wasted pick there for the Packers. So nice job there. I want to talk about drop rates for a second. I'm going to get kind of nerdy here.
I love when Joey gets nerdy.
So let's talk drop rates about Sammy Watkins, right? Everybody wants to say, oh, he's got potential. He's been good, but when he's on the field, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about his numbers. He has yet to go over 52 receptions in a season. He has yet to go over – wait, am I reading that right? I'm on the wrong page. Sorry. He's yet to go over, since his rookie year, 65 receptions, his rookie year. He's only gone over 1,000 receiving yards once. Let's talk about drop rate. 12.2% drop rate last season, even when he was on the field.
What's the league average? Does it say what the league average is?
I'm not sure what the league average is off the top of my head, but I know that's way worse than league average.
For a marker, can you pull up Larry Fitzgerald's drop rate as the guy who's definitely in first place in that stat category?
I'm not going to do that yet. Let me just talk about Byron Pringle.
Got Byron Pringle now, too.
6.7% drop percentage compared to Sammy Watkins' 12.2% drop rate. So if we're just comparing those two, who could be the number two wide receivers on the team for each team, and you're talking Darnell Mooney is the best wide receiver out of each group, because we don't know about Christian Watson. We don't know about Velus Jones Jr. In all actuality, how he's even going to turn out. We've kind of talked about what we can expect from him. Obviously, Quentin has a great article about that too. But Watkins, even on the field last year, what did he have, 27 receptions last season? Like,
yeah, where was he? He was with Baltimore last year, right?
With Baltimore on 49 targets. I know that Lamar Jackson dealt with injuries last season, but one touchdown on the entire year, 27 receptions, like I said. And you're talking about Byron Pringle, who was hiding behind guys. They both played the same number of snap percentages for their team, 49% snaps. Byron Pringle and Sammy Watkins, the same number of snap percentage for each team. And Pringle had – he did play more games because he stayed on the field more. 42 catches, 568 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a lower drop rate. Pringle's better right now than Sammy Watkins when Sammy Watkins is healthy. So if he's your number two and Byron Pringle is the Bears' number two, just in theory, we don't know how they're actually going to be opening day or whatever, or, you know, the first game of the season. The Bears have the better receiving core. It's just as simple as that. People want to throw in this Aaron Rodgers is – he'll carry the receivers, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I understand that, but if you're talking about just weapons and solely weapons alone, the Bears have the better weapons right now.
Joey, what year did Pringle start with the Chiefs, and what year did Watkins leave the Chiefs?
Pringle started with the Chiefs in 2019.
When did Watkins leave?
He left in – let me look that up real fast. He left after 2020. Last season was his first year with Baltimore.
You could make the argument that the people in the Kansas City, you know, meeting rooms were like, yeah, Pringle over Watkins at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
For the price that Pringle at least garnered at that time with the productivity, and then two, not to get all nerdy, but the drop rate and again, athletic ability, all that stuff. Pringle has a way higher upside than a half-cooked Sammy Watkins right now, so –
yeah, and he's younger too. That's the main. That's the big. Well, actually, they're very close in age, 28. I believe they're both 28. Actually, I mean, surprisingly,
I can't wait to have someone on our team with the last name Pringle. I'm just gonna like start every post game show with like a tin of Pringles like next to my head every time he scores.
Once it pops, the fun don't stop.
Uh huh. Q, how about you?
Yeah, I think to what you're saying about Watkins, I believe Kansas City was on the verge of cutting him a year or two ago, or like two years ago probably, and they came to an agreement on a pay reduction. But yeah, that speaks even more to it, that they were sitting there saying, we don't really need this guy anymore. So thinking through the Packers, I'm trying to think this as like, so – Lazard plays slot and outside. So you figure you're going to get times where you have Christian Watkins and or Watson and Sammy Watkins on the outside and Lazard on the inside. And those are the times where you're going to be saying, we need help over both sides because these guys are fast as hell. But then when Lazard's on the outside, and I assume Cobb would be playing inside at the slot, those are the times where you're starting to say we can roll this coverage over to one side and really start to gamble because you're not that worried about getting burned by Lazard. You can trust that, you know, a good one-on-one corner can stick with him and isn't going to get burned, which is a problem for their offense, for their wide receiver room, that when you don't have that guy in Devontae Adams, who you're saying we need all eyes on this guy, it's going to change that performance. And like, when you compare it to the Bears at any given time, I think that Pringle is going to be our primary slot guy, which means that Jones is going to be Valus Jones. I think he's going to be used all over the formation, but I think he's going to play a good amount of snaps. Plus Mooney, you're talking two guys with 4.3 speed out there all the time. And
a quarterback with 4.4 speed.
Yeah, and a quarterback who has a cannon that can chuck it 70 yards downfield, you know, like that can hit those guys when there's a coverage bust, when there's – you can't keep the coverage over the top on both guys all the time. You know, that's – you hear coaches talk all the time about creating these mismatches, the playing the chess game, finding a way to, like, scheme your guy open. It's – the defenses are going to gamble at times, and it's making them pay for that gamble. And that's something the Packers are going to have a hard time doing when Lazard's on the outside. So, I don't know, maybe he plays slot all the time. But then why do you even have Randall Cobb? Because he's a slot receiver. You know, he's – I don't think Randall Cobb's going to be doing a lot on the outside at this age. So, I mean, I think having Darnell Mooney makes a huge difference in the argument. Generally, I'm kind of the belief that the argument can be a bit of a moot point because when you have a good O-line and a good quarterback, their offense is probably in a better spot than ours is. But – if you're just putting in a vacuum, one-to-one, receiver room to receiver room, I don't really think it's close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because that's the thing. Like, that's exactly the thing. That's why I hate when people start bringing Rodgers into – which, for your football team, the offense will be better because you have Rodgers. That's just automatic. But, like,
anyone can catch touchdown from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and name a receiver that you're scared of, like Quentin's point, you're scared of going against Kyler Gordon or God damn it, I can't even think of his name right now. RCB1. Yeah, Jalen Johnson. He's got people on lockdown, I think, from
Jay Longdong.
I mean, he can stick with Alan Lazard, I feel. I'm not worried about that.
Well, Quentin, don't get ahead of yourself, boys, because I don't know if you saw. Last week, Jalen Johnson was running with the twos in practice. And head coach Matt Eberflus' first mistake said to the media to not read into it too much and that it was just a conditioning thing. Well, newsflash for you, buddy. Chicago, we're all jag-offs. We all read way too far into it. And the tweet also had mentioned that the two openings or the one and two spots in practice were filled with Kyler Gordon and Kendall Vildor. And then Jaquan Brisker was running one at safety too. So, Maybe he's just, you know, maybe he's telling the truth. But however, he is not telling the truth, what would your thoughts be if, like, that's a real thing where it's like, yeah, Jalen, you're not cornerback one anymore. Like, you got to re-earn that shit.
Maybe Ron should start this off. But I wouldn't read shit into it. Like you said, like, of course he's not his guy, right? He wasn't here part of the drafting process for Jalen Johnson. He hasn't been here coaching him, so maybe he's just not his guy and he doesn't fit as well under Eberflus's system and what he wants to do. So he's not in love with him as a player. But when it comes down to it, he's the best or second best, at least, cornerback on this team. So, like, he's going to be starting day one.
Yeah, I agree with Joey. He's going to be starting day one. I don't think it's something to get too concerned about. Honestly, some of it could just be them wanting to see Gordon and Brisker on the top team, and maybe they're using that top team to kind of test guys, right? Maybe they're testing Kendall Vildor. Maybe they're testing Kyler Gordon. Maybe they're testing Jaquan Brisker, where they don't feel like they need to test, you know, Jalen as much. And maybe some of it is conditioning. Maybe some of it is, you know, hey, Jalen, we need you to, you know, maybe they need him to cut a little bit of weight. I don't think that's the case. But, like, you know, there's something underlying to where they're just like, hey, man, we're going to let you play on the second team because, you know, we already know what we got with you. They might be giving other guys looks against harder competition just to see what they have.
Hits principle. That's all I see here. Mm. Starts with hustle, intensity. The Bears' pace of practice has changed versus what any player who hasn't been at the voluntary activities all offseason knows. A guy who hasn't been there does not know the way that they're running practice, does not know the pace they expect, does not know the one drill to the next, the entire flow of it. And they don't want to mess up the ones by throwing a guy in there who is – I mean, I love Jalen Johnson. I've been a huge fan of his since that draft. I was, you know – holding my breath for the Bears to pick him and for him to not get taken before the pick they took him with. But the fact of the matter is, the way that I'm seeing it is he wasn't there. He doesn't know the way practice is running, the speed at which they're expecting it to go. And I don't think they want to throw anything off with the ones as far as the timing of the practice, the way that it's going to go, because one guy doesn't know it. Give him a few weeks to figure it out. He'll be running with the ones, I think. But until he learns that expectation and the flow of the practice, I think he's going to be running with the twos. And I mean, I somewhat understand it. As long as you're giving the guy a chance to retake that first spot, I'm fine with it because he's a good corner. He deserves the first spot eventually, but the whole new staff, he needs to earn it. I can live with that.
I'd like to let it be known for the record that if we trot out there with Kendallville Door week one as one of our first two corners, I will be watching a different game. But I think you guys are more right than wrong on it. I just thought it was interesting. And obviously, Quentin, I'm glad you brought up the Hicks principles because, you know, it's that weird time right now in our franchise where, you know, like you said, there's a new way of everything being run. There's a new head coach. There's a new coaching regime. There's some new players, a lot of new rookies, and things are going to be different. And I think we go back to, you know, what Joey said last week. Change is good. Change is necessary. Change is part of evolution, and what the Bears need to evolve into is a competitive team. And what we can see from the last few years with our previous Matt and our previous Ryan is they weren't a competitive team. And, I mean, if you go back even a regime before that, apparently everybody on the team was a bunch of bitches. So there's always been a culture issue in Chicago. It's always been that. You know what I'm saying? As long as I can remember, the last time that this team had a real identity and didn't have issues with their culture and their coaching or in the locker room was the Urlacher and Briggs era, you know, and that ended like 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Ended like 2008, 2010. Like they have not had a run of consistency as a franchise in a very long time. And I think one of the most important parts of that is the head coach. And if Matt Eberflus can instill these type of principles where it's almost like he's kind of got to be like a college head coach right now. Maybe they don't want to hear it like that because they're grown men, but you kind of have to be a dictator. You kind of get everyone on board, get everyone to believe. And, you know, I say it all the time. Belief is a hell of a drug in sports. A lot can happen, especially if you're the player that's out there doing it. We're just fans and we believe. If you're the player and you actually go out there and you believe, you know, hey, we're going to beat Green Bay this week and we're going to beat them when we play them again later in the season. I'm not saying you're actually going to get it done, but you ain't going to get it done if you walk into Lambeau thinking, yeah, we're going to get shit bumped. So I think they need to become mentality monsters. They need to become a team that is mentally strong and they need to work on the technical side of it as well. But I think like something like that is good to send a message. But something that I did mention towards the end of that tweet or the end of the tweet that I was talking about before was that Brisker was working with the ones. And that's something that we talked about even when they drafted him, because it instantly fills that void at the safety position and it allows Eddie Jackson to be Eddie Jackson. So thoughts on, you know, already seeing that he's, you know, made that jump to where he's practicing with the ones. We don't know how it will pan out from regular season, but it's starting off well for the safety.
Yeah, I just want to jump in and kind of endorse that. I think everybody that's a Bears fan that's craving content that maybe hasn't seen it yet, go watch 1920 Football Drive. Because hearing the draft calls with some of these guys really, I think, gives fans at least an idea where you can spin your own opinions on how the Bears see these guys fitting in, right? They were excited about Kyler Gordon. Don't get me wrong. They were. But Eberflus was like, yo, you're going to be a motherfucker in this defense when he called Brisker. Like, I honestly think that they see Brisker and they were like surprised Brisker was still there. I think they sat there and were like, holy shit, this kid's still here and we have a chance to go get him and he can be just a home wrecker in this defense. Because again, we saw it for all those years when the Bears were very good defensively. Their safety play was always incredible, right? Mike Brown, Chris Harris. Like, you had those guys back there that could be difference makers. If you get a guy like Brisker who hits like a son of a bitch, I think his probably one of his craziest highlights is him absolutely decapitating, what was it, the Utah State quarterback or Nevada quarterback, whoever it was.
Was it Joey the guy?
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure.
I hope it wasn't Strong. I don't remember, though. But
yeah, Carson Strong.
Rush. Whoever it was, though, he
probably fucked up his knee a little bit worse. That's why he went undrafted and didn't hit that prop bet. Damn it. Thanks, Ron. Let's talk about that.
But, like, sure. I mean, for Brisker, I really do think that, like, him playing with the ones is no shock because I think he just embodies what the Bears want to do on defense, right? He plays with this crazy intensity. Like, have you seen – you guys have seen the viral video, right, where, like, Buda Baker hits the, like, tackling dummy and, like, literally kills it?
Yeah.
It's been kind of resurfaced on social media recently. Like, that to me screams what, like, Brisker can do. Like, I have a feeling he's going to play with that intensity. And going back to what Quentin said, right, the hits principle, they want those guys that just have that high motor. And I think that's a big reason why they wanted to draft athletes so much, because athletes that have a high motor usually translates into really good production. So I think Brisker being with the ones is – I think hearing Kyler Gordon was balling out and they were really, really pumped about him was – less or was more surprising if out of the two than Brisker being with the ones. Cause I think they're over the moon about Brisker after watching 1920 football drive.
That's something that I need to watch as soon as we're done with this. Didn't get a chance to watch 1920 football drive, but you're getting me very hyped about it. And I will say that kind of goes back to like what we have heard or what I think he said when they drafted him too was, he's going to cause a lot of turnovers in this defense when they were talking to him. And yeah, man, I mean, he's got that motor. He's got that playmaking ability. He definitely can make reads and cause turnovers too in the passing game. So I love Brisker, man. Like him playing with the ones, I'm really not all that surprised practicing with the ones right now, because that's kind of what we've all kind of predicted to this point, I guess. Like the last few shows that we've done, last few times that we've talked, we've said Brisker's probably going to be starting. Kyler Gordon's probably going to be starting, both those guys. And I honestly think, back to your point, Ron, they were probably between Brisker and Gordon at that first selection. Like which one do we take here? And to, like you said, they're surprised that he lasted that long. Like we can't go offense here. We got a double barrel on defense. He's that good, and yeah, we called that. We said they're going to go with Brisker here because we all loved him during the draft when we were on that live stream. So I can't say I'm surprised. I love it, man. I hope he turns into the guy that we think that he can be.
Yeah, like I think Brisker's a great fit in this defense, and that makes it not that surprising that he is. He's with the ones. I mean, guy was a top 50 pick. You almost think he should be with the ones right away, pretty much. I mean, so in this defense, they ask a lot of their corners on run fits. And one of the reasons they do that is it allows your safeties, not your free safety, because both safeties are kind of interchangeable in this scheme, that they'll rotate roles. But it allows the safeties to play pretty instinctive and just kind of be agents of chaos at times. Just use their instincts to find the coverage, find the routes, find the ball, their film study to understand what's coming at them and just go get the football. And that's a big part of that is the way that they ask corners to make run fits, because it takes that responsibility that's usually there for the safety off the table, or not necessarily off the table, but it minimizes it so they can just play ball. It's one of the things I like about this defense a lot, because I mean, you think back to those Lovey Bears with Mike Brown, he was making so many plays, just so many ridiculous plays. And as I've, you know, learned more about football and different schemes and that, I start to think about, I wonder how much that really had to do with, you know, Charles Tillman charging downhill against the run all these times so that Mike Brown didn't have to worry about it, you know, or, you know, Nate Vasher, whoever it might have been. So I think that's something that Brisker is made to do, you know, be that agent of chaos, go get the football. So not a huge shock to me that he's with the ones already.
Yeah, and I love that point too. Sorry to cut you. The Kyler Gordon running downhill too to kind of help with Brisker, man. That's going to be that. that was one of the things that we watched, right, on the tape. Like, yeah. He can do that very well, run-stopping ability. Like, that's going to be key for Brisker and Jackson, too, with Kyler Gordon on the outside. So it really all is, like, you see the idea they have here with building the secondary.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it for what it is, like, Brisker, he comes from Penn State, a Big Ten team. If anyone in this chat or in this call watched Penn State last year, their games were, like, 17-15. 12-9, like real hard-nosed battles between the 20s that you better hope you have a kicker that can bang them between the uprights. So
Brisker's, that Wisconsin QB still got nightmares about it.
You know, which one is that? Graham Mertz, right?
Yeah, Graham Mertz.
Oh, man.
He's awful. He is awful. But I
so
think
is like, Jack Cohen, though. We know, B-Don. We know.
Jack Cohen's in the NFL, though, so speak to me nicely.
UDFA. I'm a Notre Dame fan, asshole.
UDFA Jack Cohen, okay? Okay. He probably won't ever play it down in the NFL, but he did his thing. I'll give the name you need to watch out for. Rocky Lombardi. That's the quarterback name you need to watch out for. That's the sleeper from the MAC, my guy. But the way I look at it right now is
Future Bear.
Maybe that's what Hammy was doing up there the other day. Maybe. No, you know what I did say? I hope he was like, hey man, Clint's gonna be healed by October. Why don't you just throw him on the practice squad? But right now with Brisker, I think it goes back to what I was talking about 10-15 minutes ago, where Brisker is an identity guy. Like, that's a guy that you can use to build an identity on your defense. He's that level of playmaker. And I think, too, like, we're not going to ever – I've said this for as many years as I've had this podcast, and it's rang true every single year, so I think I should probably just say it goes without being said. We're never going to see that same 2018 Eddie Jackson ever again. That was a complete outlier and a complete fucking anomaly. It was a great season. Don't get me wrong. It was Ed Reed-esque at times. It was inspirational to see the way that he was creating turnovers. And then, too, Eddie Jackson is, if not the best, with the ball in his hands on the defensive side of the ball. I'll argue with a lot of people about that. He knows what to do with it, and he knows how to get north and south and get to that end zone. But this defense is really peeling off the Band-Aid of the old Windows regime, the Khalil Max. Robert Quinn will be the next guy that's gone. Akeem Hicks is – I don't know what his status is, but I know he's not re-signed and he hasn't signed anywhere else either. So it's like you need to have these cornerstone type of guys, these Kyler Gordons and these Jaquan Briskers. And to see that they're both running with first team says, you know, it speaks volumes to your scouting department. It speaks volumes to your front office. And it speaks volumes to the type of young men that they have brought into this team this year. I hope that, you know, Ronnie's guy, like guys like Tristan Ebner and some of the later round guys can really make an impact too. But as a Bears fan, and I'll leave us on this note, other than those two, what has you most excited right now in this moment about camp? Because, I mean, it's going to be May 31st in 10 minutes. We're a little over a month away from the Hall of Fame game and training camp. What are you most pumped about this season for?
Justin Fields and that next step. I think that I think that reigns in every Bears fan's minds. I think there's plenty of good options out there, and there's things to be excited about. I think the receiving core, what we talked about, is certainly a possibility. The defense and just the different look that it's going to be from what we've gotten used to over the last 4, 5, 6 years. But Justin Fields' next step has to get everybody excited. Like, if he takes the step forward that I think we all think he can, and I think the Bears front office and the coaching staff thinks he can, dude, this season, again, they might only win seven games. If they're really good. Yeah, but maybe like a really good year, right? 8. But I'm telling you what, if they're losing games by 3 and 4 points and it's just because the defense gets beat up, that means Justin's balling out. And that's, I think, exactly what every Bears fan wants to see. So for me, seeing number one back there playing quarterback is what I'm looking forward to probably most.
Two things before I get to you, Joey. The other day I saw my mom had a Justin Fields, like, little shirt on. And I was like, when did you get that? She's like, oh, I got it last season. And I'm like, I've never seen this, but I am a huge fan. Like, let's go. So my mom, who's not on the show today, obviously, she is very excited for Justin Fields next season. And then two, I totally had a brain fart. Joey, you can go ahead and I'm gonna come back to two probably after Q.
That's incredible.
I did not mean to do that either.
No, I mean, that's incredible. Your mom has the Justin Fields shirt, though. Maybe she should come on the show.
Yeah.
But
you know what she would say in the prediction section? Bears by 1,000.
Let's go. Let's go. Bears money line, Bears by 1,000. I love it.
Yep.
Most excited about, I mean, Ron, it's got to be Justin Fields, right? Like, I felt like the last episode we did, we were talking about our predictions for this player could project to be this. Like, who do we expect a breakout from, the next step from? Who do we hope has the breakout? Like, every question that we went through last week, I feel like you could have said Justin Fields for just about every answer, because it's like, we hope Fields has the breakout, takes the next step. We think he will. All these things, like, so I think he is definitely the person to get most excited about. And I will say, to just be different, but also, like, it's true with me, like, Eberflus, man, we talked about it. Like, the difference in coaching means a lot, especially when you have talent on your roster that throughout the NFL, national media wise, and like just people predicting teams to finish wherever. Yeah, I don't think this team wins a ton of games this year, but I think they are better than what people think on paper. And I think a lot of that is due to the coaching staff, the new regime, instilling this hits principle that Quentin was talking about earlier and taking the next step. We'll see how Getsy does. Like, Getsy did a lot of good work in Green Bay. That's going to be huge for this offense and for Fields to take that next step and to be the guy that we expect him to be this year, at least to leap forward a little bit. So I'm very excited for the new coaching staff as a whole. Eberflus, Getsy, all those guys, and for Justin Fields. I'm most excited about that so far.
It came back to me real quick before we get to Q. So I think that the sportsbook need to put out this market. I don't know which sportsbook will do it. Maybe we'll have to get it done. But will the Bears be on the In the Hunt graphic in week 15 or later? And that's the future.
I say yes.
Because that's the measuring stick of our season. It's like, no, we're not going to make the playoffs, but are we on that damn graphic? You know, when there's snow on the ground, you're between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Are we on that damn graphic?
I feel like Fox Sports sets the bottom line for that graphic by the Bears sometimes, just because they know
it's good for the lines.
They just want them to be on there.
Oh, shit.
Things I'm most excited about this year, Justin Fields all 22 tape. I just want to watch his progression. I want to see how he gets better. I want to see the steps he's taking. And I think he's going to take steps, and I'm very excited to see them. Beyond just Fields, though, Joey mentioned this a little, as Getsy. Man, I've been seeing a lot of love for Joe Moorhead lately on Twitter. And that's Getsy's guy. Moorhead was one of his coaches when he was a college QB. He coached under Moorhead for a handful of years. He was his offensive coordinator at Mississippi State. And I've just been seeing a lot of people that I respect out on Twitter doing breakdowns and film on how smart of an offensive mind Joe Moorhead is. And that just gets me very excited about Luke Getsy. And when I'm hearing that, you know, Moorhead, you could see his impact on Getsy bleeding into Green Bay's offense last year. I love that thought, because it tells me that, yes, Getsy did have some pretty solid say in that offense in Green Bay, and it worked. And that's something that the Bears brought in now. And lastly, I just want to say, I'm excited about these second round picks. I mean, we've seen some camps where, like, the Bears bring in Kevin White, and he's not surprising anyone in camp. They're never going to say anything bad, but he's not surprising. They're bringing Shea McClellan, and it's like, you don't even know if he's going to start. You know, these guys aren't that. So that's a step in the right direction right away, which has me excited.
Yeah, and for me, it's two things. It's It's when they make the final, you know, project over in Arlington Heights final. They sign those papers and they get that shit sealed and delivered. But on the field, this is going to come as no surprise, as you guys know, I'm a huge fan of this guy. Joey, you're going to laugh at me, but Cole Kmet, breakout season. Hear me out. Hear me out. He is one of the guys outside of Darnell Mooney that Justin Fields may be more comfortable with, as opposed to, you know, I know we talked about those new receivers and building that chemistry. I think you're going to see an uptick in his receptions. I think it was either Kittle or Kelsey. Someone was talking about, maybe it was neither, but it was someone who means a shit as a tight end that was talking about how he did over at Tight End University, which for those of you that don't know, it's like it's almost like a seminar each year that is put together by like the league's best tight ends, and you go and you train and, you know, you hang out with other tight ends and you tell campfire stories and eat s'mores and all that good shit, but you work out a lot too. And they spoke highly of Cole Kmet, and I know probably think it's biased because, you know, I'm a huge Notre Dame guy, but I just know what this kid is capable of. I've seen it at Notre Dame. Now, I know I've said the kid that's next up at Notre Dame. Yeah, Lob said Greg Olson said that. The guy that's next up at Notre Dame is going to be even better than Cole Kmet and Michael Meyer, but I still think that they got a lot more.
That's the real tight end university. It's Notre Dame.
Yeah,
it's and Iowa. I'm throwing Iowa in that bucket. You're going to be mad at me for that one. But
he's a two-time graduate of tight end U. But I think, like, adding a quality tight end who produces to what we talked about at the top of the show, a better receiving core than the Green Bay Packers, and a good running back, although he's not the fastest, with some gadget backs behind him, I think our offense is in a lot better shape than people give it credit for. And I think there's no reason why, as a unit, they can't go out and get 21 to 24 points a game. But one final note on the show, not necessarily a Bears note, but just an NFL note. This morning, former, I want to say first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings from TCU, Jeff Gladney, passed away. I don't really have details as to how he died. I saw that he passed away, and I know that
it was a car wreck.
I think it was a car crash.
Car accident, okay. So, yeah. Not to get too sappy, but, like, always tell someone you love them when you see them last. Always make sure you never leave someone with an argument. And because, I mean, this is another guy. Haskins was, what, 26, 27? Gladney couldn't have been more than 25. These are kids that, you know, they end up both losing their life in the offseason and in a car accident. To call a spade truly a spade, it could happen to anyone, anytime, any place. So another thing too, drive safe, I guess you would say, but it's sad news for the NFL. And he actually, I found out, was with the Cardinals, which I didn't even know that until today. But yeah, just really sad NFL news, and just something I thought that I should mention as we are an NFL show. So with that being said, we are Bears on Tap. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. You can follow my co-host at Ron Luce, at Luce on Tap, at Joey Ricotta, at Joey Knows Nothing, and then Quentin at Butkus Stats. But we are Bears on Tap. We'll be back with you guys next week, and then we're looking into some alternative episodes and stuff that we have cooked up in the following weeks to fill the void until there is football back again in this country, because the CFL will be back soon. The USFL's playing. We don't have our vaunted Chicago Bears. They're going to be back before you guys know it. We're going to be here to cover it for you. But again, we thank everyone for tuning in. And Bear Down.
Bear Down.
Bear Down.
Bear Down. Bear Down.